Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Those who enter into the kingdom, they will never die. They will live in their physical bodies forever. We will have a glorified body. We will be like Christ. 1 John chapter 3 talks about that. We shall be like him. However, there will be people who will live forever in their physical body. And let me add this and move on. Now, you may think I'm crazy, but it's so. I can prove to you scripture from the Bible. If we believe that Jesus could come today, and I believe that, that means there are people that are alive on this earth today who could potentially live forever and never die in their physical body. Preacher, you're crazy. Hang with me and I'll show you how we can do it. Because they're going to have, if they're saved, they get saved during the tribulation period. Again, we talked about this last week in my morning message. If you've heard the gospel, this side of the translation, this side of the rapture, your death sentence have been signed. Okay, you won't have a chance for salvation after, are you following? After the translation of the saints, if you've heard the gospel and you rejected Jesus Christ, there will be no hope for you. However, there's over 7 billion people on this earth, on the earth today. That's a lot of folk. And over half of them have still not heard a clear presentation of Jesus Christ. That's why Brother Dave is going to Ukraine and to Russia and Siberia and other places. And we got missionaries all over the world so they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the people who've never heard, but they get saved during the tribulation, they hear the preaching of the gospel, they accept Christ, and if they survive the tribulation, they will never die. They enter into the kingdom in their physical body, they'll have access to that tree of life, and they'll live forever. Brother Ken asked me a great question. Well, what about their sin nature? That sin nature will be eradicated from them. Matter of fact, it talks about, I will give them a clean heart. You ever read that in the Bible? I'll give them a clean heart. I gave him another illustration. You know, Jesus changed this earth basically in 3 years. He was on a ministry. You know, he was here 32 years. But his ministry lasted about 3 years. It changed this whole world. Imagine when he's on this earth for 1,000 years. Wow. You can't tell me that ain't going to change people. Okay, but anyway, they enter into the millennium in their physical bodies, and they have children, and they have children, and they have children. By the time Satan is released, this world will be full of young people under the age of 100 who's not yet accepted Christ. And these will be the ones who follow him, Satan, okay? And then that's where we have that final confrontation. Jesus destroys them when Satan and his army comes in. And against Jesus and for the last time, and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And I say this all the time when I get this point. Next time Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen and amen. So there's that final confrontation, then there's ultimate condemnation. That's when the dead, the unbelievers from the time of Cain to the last person who ever dies as an unbeliever, they will be raised and they will get a resurrected body at the great white throne judgment. That's the ultimate condemnation in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15, where death and hell delivers up the dead, and then he casts them into the lake of fire, and they'll live forever and ever. And that's called the resurrection of the unjust that Jesus spoke about. When Jesus talked about the resurrections in his ministry, the resurrection of the just, resurrection of the unjust. We differentiated, I can't even pronounce that word. We made a contrast between the two resurrections, okay? And this is the resurrection for the unbelievers, the unjust. And then we find a renovation, regeneration. That's when in the book of Peter talks about He burns this earth up and he makes it all new. I believe it literally. He covered it with water in the days of Noah. He's going to cover it with fire. He's not going to destroy it like an atom bomb. No, he's just going to burn it and make it new. It regenerates it, refreshes. Some of you know about this. You burn a field or something, all the old mess and all the nice green fresh. Basically, that's what's going to happen. It's called a regeneration. And then a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter number 21 and 22, we see all that take place. So those are the bare bones of what we're going to look at over the next few months. It's probably going to take, we were in the book of Genesis for 70 weeks, okay? I don't doubt we'll probably be in the book of Revelation that much, because there's so much to share, so much to share. I hope it won't be boring to you. I hope it's going to be something exciting. And with that, I wanted to get to the first three verses of the book of Revelation. So let's go to Revelation chapter number 1 as a beginning again to our studies. This was written by John, a great apostle on the Isle of Patmos, perhaps AD 96. You know, give or take a year or two, different time frames are attributed to that. But he's definitely on the Isle of Patmos. He talked about that in verse number 9, that he was there on the isle, which is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Literally, he was there because he preaching the gospel. Okay, let me throw this at you and give you a little one-minute Bible lesson for this word for. That word for caused a lot of F-O-R, caused a lot of Baptists a lot of problems in the late 1800s, the early 1900s. You ever heard of a fellow by the name of Charles Alexander Campbell? Started the Campbellites, the Church of Christ. All right, he was never a Baptist. He hobnobbled Baptist, and he started something that was heretical about baptism or regeneration. That one verse, believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. And he defined that word for as in order to. In other words, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. That's why a lot of denominations today have strong emphasis on baptism, because without baptism, according to their doctrine and belief, you cannot be saved. Well, the Bible nowhere teaches that, but that's one of the verses that they use. Well, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Or the word for can be used in order to, but it also can be used because of. And that's how the context, everything must be. And I'm not a Greek fellow, I'm not a Hebrew fellow, I study a little bit of it, but you do not interpret scripture by the Greek and Hebrew alone. If you do, you get into trouble. You have to do it by context. What does the rest of the Bible say about that one subject? This is a good illustration where it says in verse number 9 that John was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Was he there in order to present the word of God? Was he there in order to preach the word of God? Or was he there as a prisoner because he preached the word of God? Because he preached the word of God. Same word for is used. Again, it's all in context of how that word is used. So John was on the Isle of Patmos about AD 96 because he'd preached the word of God. And in your heading, it says the revelation to John. Some might say in the heading, the revelation of St. John divine. Don't get thrown off with that. Don't bother me. What it says, it is the revelation to John. If it says St. John the divine, don't let that throw you. Because by the way, do you know you're a saint? Got one amen. You know, you're a saint. You really are. Now, you may be a good one or a bad one, but you're a saint. It's more scriptural, much more scriptural to say I'm a saint than I'm a Christian. Now, I ain't going to argue with nobody. I'm just telling you Bible. It's much more in context with scripture and with Bible thinking how Paul wrote it to say to the saints that are at Corinth. You never saw Paul call people Christians. Never. He didn't say to the Christians at Thessalonica or to the Christian. He said to the saints. Why is that? The real definition of a Christian is this. They're followers of Christ. They're Christ-like. Christian, they're Christ-like. There's a lot of saints who are not Christ-like. Let it sink in. I didn't say they're not going to heaven. They're going to heaven by the grace of God. I'm talking about biblical terminology, how we just throw words out there. Everybody's a Christian. Oh, is that right? What does the Bible say? Even preachers get in the pulpit and say, you're a Christian. Well, I beg to differ. A Christian is somebody who's Christ-like. How many of God's people are Christ-like?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.